ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
That is the one and only Dolly Parton with a love letter to her home state, Tennessee. She's not the only Nashville musician with a lot of love for Tennessee right now. Governor Bill Lee signed the Elvis Act into law at the end of last week. See, Benedict from The Music Show is here. See, thanks for being with us. What is the Elvis Act?
Well, let's wonder if they came up with the acronym or the actual things that the acronym stands for first. It is the Ensuring Likeness, Voice and Image Security Act.
They've done well.
They've absolutely crowbarred it in there. Congratulations to the people of Tennessee. This is protecting artists from AI deepfakes. So what it's actually doing in terms of the legal mechanism is adding artists' voices to the state's current protection of personal rights law. And, you know, AI means a lot of things. We kind of need to say that every time we talk about AI and music, AI and the arts. AI is sometimes quite low impact and actually can support creative careers. So things like a discovery algorithm can be really positive for musicians. AI-powered software that can like remove microphone hiss or the air conditioner noise from the background of a recording, all of those things are helping musicians and not putting them out of business, you know. But what we're talking about is that uncanny, totally creepy, getting more and more effective replication of artists' voices and images. That's generative AI, and it allows people to make these artists say or sing whatever they like. And crucially now, their fans can't always tell.
I guess there's a bit of a grey area here, because so much of what AI does is blending together a whole bunch of things. But this is what's specifically about the clear voice of one musician or artist or another.
Yeah, it's mimicry that we're talking about. It's the development of a kind of a way of lying to the public, I think, is the thing that really concerns musicians and their record labels, you know, because there's a big financial question here about artists essentially being like priced out of their own work, you know, and being replaced by robots.
So musicians are pretty happy about it.
They've certainly welcomed it. So the Governor Bill Lee, he signed the bill into law at a honky-tonk called Roberts Westernwall. You know, it's one of those live music every night venues. It looks, you know, looking on Google Images, it's like very sticky floors.
I love it.
It's down the road from the Johnny Cash Museum in Nashville. And he was surrounded by musicians when he signed that bill.
Oh, it's such a great part of the world. I have been through there on a wonderful road trip. So what is the significance of this law coming out of Tennessee?
Well, the significant thing is that it's the first of its kind. It sets a precedent. This is the first US law protecting musicians from AI mimicry. And the way that those laws often come about in the US is that one state will kind of do it first, test it out, and then other states will follow suit. And it does make a lot of sense that it's coming out of Tennessee, because this is a huge music industry. It's a kind of discrete musical engine within the wider musical ecosystem because of that huge country music background. Tennessee's music industry supports over 61,000 jobs in music. It contributes $5.8 billion to their GDP, and it keeps over 4,500 music venues filled and running constantly. But it's also an industry that prides itself on its authenticity. That's the country music. That's a real banjo authenticity coming out there. A musician called Chris Jansen, he's a country artist who spoke at the bill signing, and he said, "We came to a real city to make real music for real people." And then he went on to say, "The darkness in the AI world always comes to light with realness and reality. What do they say in this town? The best song always wins."
Nice one. In other news, Sinead O'Connor fans aren't particularly happy about a new tribute.
This is a really interesting, this is a very, very small and ridiculous thing that's happened. If you had a child who played with dolls born between the years of about 95 and 2005, you'll be familiar with the Bratz doll. A Bratz doll is like a Barbie doll with bee stings on the face. It's sort of exaggerated facial features. They've made a series of historical women for Women's History Month, and they've made a Sinead O'Connor Bratz doll. It's certainly something really recommend looking it up. She is wearing a Jesus is Coming Look Busy crop top. She has a rosary twisted around her arm, and the rosary where the crucifix would usually be is an exaggerated pair of lips. they aren't planning on actually producing these dolls, but to buy for the regular punters. But, you know, it drew some criticism from fans. One comment put it quite pithily, "Wow, she would hate this."
Yeah, right. An American musical institution is meanwhile celebrating its 100th anniversary this week. What's that?
Yeah, that's the New York Philharmonic. It started its concerts for young people 100 years ago this week. There's this beautiful, beautiful old posters of these 1920s, 1930s concerts, you know, calling it a dazzling array of musical forms, tones and colours. It's basically concerts with a lot of talking in between the pieces, lots of little demonstrations. So really explaining how the music works to young people. It started being broadcast on the radio in 1930 and then on TV starting in 1958. So, and you can actually watch all of these online. There are over 50 episodes of Leonard Bernstein, composer of West Side Story, one of the great conductors. He was an artistic director of the New York Phil for a long time. He's conducting the pieces and explaining the music as he goes. It's very glorious, and you can't really believe that it was ever broadcast in prime time. It's very slow and thoughtful and funny and clever. You know, we talk a lot about music accessibility in terms of music education, allowing people to become professional musicians. But I think the wider and more crucial work that these young people's concerts started is allowing young people, or really people of any age, to enjoy music and feel comfortable engaging with all kinds of music.
That's wonderful. And that was the music show's C. Benedict. Thank you so much for being with us. You are on RN Breakfast. I'm David Lipson. We're going to hear some of that Leonard Bernstein now.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.